Yes, Lord, that's our prayer, that we want to see you. That we want to see you more, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. That we may see you. That we may know you more and more. In your name. Amen. Amen. Now, Jen's going to come and share the word with us.
Good morning. It's really lovely to be with you all today. John and I have been really looking forward to coming and spending the morning with you. As John said, our theme today is no restrictions. And one of the things that I so appreciate about being loved by God and being in a relationship with Jesus is the fact that we have unrestricted access to the presence of God. You know, Psalm 139 reminds us, where can I run from your presence? Where can I flee from your love? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I go to the east, to the west, there's nowhere where your love cannot find me. And you know, that gives me great comfort to know whatever I face in life, God is always there. He hears my voice and I can hear his voice. I have unrestricted access to his presence. And you know, we see this all throughout the Gospels in the life of Jesus. You know, Jesus came to earth to show us what the Father is like, to reveal to us his love. And you know, wherever Jesus went, people followed him. Jesus had time for everybody, regardless of their background, their social status, their position. Jesus made time for everybody. But it was such a contrast to the leaders of the day, to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. These were the people who were meant to point people to God. They were meant to help people with their faith, to grow and help them nurture and grow closer to God. But instead, they added laws and rules to the Bible and made it really difficult for people to draw near to God. They made it a burden for people to know God. Not only that, but they separated themselves. They didn't want to associate with the common people. They didn't want to associate with sinners, people maybe on the outskirts, people that were sick, people that were poor, tax collectors, people that were marginalized. There was such a contrast between Jesus and the leaders of the day. And I share that with you at the beginning because I really want you to understand the bigger picture of these two stories that we've read this morning. Understand the bigger picture of what was going on, what the leaders of the day were like, and what a contrast Jesus was. Because you see, if not, we will come to these stories and we will think these stories are all about the Sabbath, all about the Sabbath law. And yes, they are, but that's only part of the story. The Sabbath was important. Jesus wasn't saying that the Sabbath wasn't important. You know, the Sabbath was a command. It was one of the commands that God gave to Moses, part of the Ten Commandments, when God rescued the Israelites from slavery. He brought them out and he said, you are my chosen people. I've set you apart. And now I'm going to reveal my commands to you, not to restrict you, but so that you will live a full and blessed life. He said, I want to teach you about what it means to be my special chosen people and how to live in a relationship with me. And one of the commands that God gave to Moses was about keeping the Sabbath day holy. That is, that we take one day a week to remember God and to rest. And you know, today is our Sabbath. That's why we gather together on a Sunday to celebrate and remember. As believers in Jesus, to remember that God is here. We are not self-made people. So the Sabbath was a command, but the Sabbath was also a sign. It was meant to remind them. You see, they'd been in slavery in Egypt, and God was saying, you're now free. You're now my people. You don't have to work your fingers to the bone 7 days a week. I want you to take a day of rest, to be refreshed, to be with me. And you know, that was so radical. In fact, even the servants in their household were not allowed to work on the Sabbath. They couldn't even get their animals to do any work because God wanted them to rest. It was a sign. It was a way of them to remember God. You see, we can get so caught up in our own busyness, can't we? But actually, that discipline, that routine of taking that Sabbath day, it was an outward symbol of the fact that God was their Father, that they loved him. And it was an outward sign to the surrounding nations. And for us, you know, it's a sign, it's an outward expression, if you like, to the world around us, the fact that we take Sunday to join together as believers. It's a sign to the world outside that, hey, you know what? Actually, God is important. Our faith matters to us. We take this time together. But you know, the Sabbath was also a gift. It was a gift from God. It was not meant to restrict people. It was meant to bring life. You know, how often today do we hear the words that more and more the need of needing to rest? You know, we need that. Our physical bodies need it. Our minds need it. We need that rest. How amazing is it that, you know, many, many years ago, God established this principle of rest. He knows what we need. He is our Father, and he takes care of us. So the Sabbath is important. But, you know, the bigger picture of these stories is actually to reveal what God is like. Bill Johnson, who's a well-known pastor in America, he says, you know, the Bible was not given to us as concepts and ideas to debate and discuss. The Bible was given to us as an opportunity for divine encounter. In other words, it's all about relationship. Every time we come to the Bible, we have an opportunity to draw nearer and to really know the God that is in the pages of the Bible. That's why you can read the same passage one time and another time something else can leap out to you that is so pertinent to your circumstances and so something just that you need for that moment. Live. And he is here. He is here to help us to know him. And so it's important as we come to the Bible that we always have that in mind. It's all about relationship. And so I want to look at this first story where Jesus and the disciples are. It's the Sabbath day, and they're walking in the cornfields. Walking, and Jesus is teaching the disciples, and the disciples are listening. And as they're going along, they're picking some of the grains of corn, and they're eating it. And then we're told that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, suddenly pop up. I don't know whether they were hiding in the fields and suddenly appeared out of nowhere, but it seems a little bit odd, doesn't it? They suddenly just pop up and they point the finger and they say, look what your disciples are doing. They're actually picking the grains of corn. They're actually breaking the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees added laws to the commands, and they took it to the nth degree. And so they said that actually the fact that the disciples were picking some of the grains of corn was the equivalent to harvesting. They were saying that actually they were working on the Sabbath. It was the equivalent of working on the Sabbath because they were picking these grains of corn. Now, if I was Jesus, I think I might have just rolled my eyes and thought, oh, for goodness sake, this is ridiculous. But actually, Jesus doesn't do that. He actually defends the disciples in such an incredible way. He uses the example of King David. Now, you have to understand that King David was like the most revered king of Israel. When David was on the throne, Those were the glory days. It was peace and prosperity for the nation of Israel. It just could not have got any better than that. And in defending the disciples, Jesus uses this example of King David. You see, King David was anointed as king in secret. King Saul was still on the throne. But King Saul knew nothing about this. But David was becoming very, very prosperous, very popular. He'd killed Goliath. And he, you know, King Saul was really jealous. So much so that David had to flee for his life. He's on the run, and the first place that David goes is to the house of the priests. He's got no supplies, no weapons, nothing. So he runs to the priest's house, and he says, "Have you got any bread? Have you got a sword that I can take with me?" And actually, he tells the priest that he's on a secret mission for the king. So he doesn't even let the priests in on the fact that he's on the run. And the priest says to him, "I'm really sorry, but I don't have any bread. The only bread that I've got is the consecrated bread, the bread that, under the Jewish law, only the priests were allowed to eat." Now, normally, they wouldn't have given that bread to David, but because King David was on the run, they actually gave him the bread that they were not supposed to normally give him, because he was in need. You see, that day, it was more important to be merciful than to actually uphold that law about the bread, only the priest could eat it. And this is the point that Jesus was making. He was saying, look, actually, they're actually eating the grains of corn. They're not harvesting. They're not breaking the Sabbath. And he was trying to say to the disciples, listen, you've totally lost sight of what's important. You're making the Sabbath as if the Sabbath is God. You've forgotten who actually gave you the Sabbath. Who created the Sabbath? God created the Sabbath. And would God not provide food for someone in need? Look what he did with David. Would he not also do that with these disciples? But you know, what's incredible is that David was called a man after God's own heart. And Jesus was likening that to the disciples. But for me, I think when I read the passage, I think about the fact that they were going through the fields picking up these grains of corn. They were hungry. But they were also spiritually hungry. They were with Jesus. They were wanting to learn. They were wanting to know Jesus. There was a spiritual hunger, not just a physical hunger. Whereas the Pharisees, they were not hungry. They were not spiritually hungry either. They were stuffed full of their own knowledge. They already felt they knew everything. They were coming to Jesus to criticize him. They didn't come to Jesus wanting to know or wanting to learn with open hearts. No, they already felt they knew everything. You know, sometimes we can become so blinded, so fixated, so focused on being right, so feeling that we have everything together, and actually, we don't. We need that spiritual hunger to be able to come to God. But also, we need to... When I read this passage, when I read this story, I just think about how God defends us. God is our defender. And you know, when we are his, when we belong to him, he will defend us. We can come boldly, John said at the beginning, we can come boldly into the presence of God to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, sometimes I think we can have our own Pharisee inside our own minds. We can come into the presence of God and we can feel on the back foot, so aware of what we haven't done, so aware of the prayers we haven't prayed, so aware of the readings that we haven't done. But I want to tell you this morning, you are free from accusation. God is your defender. And every day there is an open invitation to you His arms are open wide. You can come boldly into the presence of God. God is your defender. The second story takes place in the synagogue. Again, it's on a Sabbath. And the Pharisees were so relentless in just trying to undermine Jesus. They were looking for every opportunity. And they thought, wow, we've really got him this time. Because there was a man in the congregation who had a withered hand. And Jesus had gained a great reputation for healing the sick. And so the Pharisees were looking on and wondering, right, well, let's see. Is Jesus going to heal on the Sabbath? They knew that he could heal. The question is, would he? And if he did, he'd be breaking the Sabbath. Because again, they classed that as working. There was only one exception to healing someone on the Sabbath, and that was if their life was in danger. But this man had a withered hand. It wasn't a life or death moment. And so the Pharisees, again, were poised, ready to pounce on Jesus, ready to criticize him. You know, Jesus was not afraid of them. Sometimes I think it's really hard for us to understand what it must have been like for him to have stood there everywhere he went. He had them criticizing him, trying to undermine him, trying to put him down everywhere he went. And yet Jesus refused to be put off. He refused to back down because he really wanted to bring the message about his Father and to share his Father's love. And so right in the middle of that congregation, he said to the man with the withered hand, come to the front. Jesus was not going to hide or pull back or shrink because of the Pharisees trying to intimidate him. He calls this man to the front, and then he asks a question. He says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? Is it lawful to save life or to kill? And the Pharisees don't say anything. And then he turns to the man with the withered hand and he says, stretch out your hand. And he stretches out his hand and the man is totally healed. I just really believe that God wants to remind you today of his kindness, of his love. You see, the Pharisees had become so fixated on their laws and their rules. It's almost as though their hearts were like that withered hand, shriveled up. Unable to be open, unable to take anything in, unable to focus. They were so shrunken, such a shrunken heart. And Jesus is not only angry, but he's just looking out thinking, what on earth is going on? How can you, the leaders of the day, who know the scripture back to front, who could recite verses, how could you have become so shrunken-hearted, so closed-hearted? How could you have closed your heart to God? You see, Jesus that day was not only giving the man an opportunity to be healed, he was also calling to the Pharisees, if you will only open your hearts, if you would only just open your heart again to me, I would restore you. Jesus was not against the Pharisees. He was against what they were trying to do. He was against what they were teaching. But you know, Jesus came to this earth for every single individual. You see, we are all lost. All of us have sinned. All of us have gone astray. But Jesus made himself available. Everybody within the hearing of Jesus' voice that day had the opportunity to come to him, to be restored, to receive his love, whatever it was that they needed, they could receive from Jesus. But you see, we have to come with an open heart. We have to be willing to come rather than being closed off and full of our own ideas and full of our own sense of, you know, trying to be God ourselves. We have to come with empty hands and an open heart before God. God knows each and every one of you by name. And just like Jesus in the synagogue that day, he saw the man with the withered hand, and yes, it wasn't life-threatening. But there was no way that Jesus was going to let someone walk out of that synagogue that he could heal and not heal them if they wanted him to heal them. So I want to ask you today, what do you need from Jesus today? What do you need from your Father in heaven? Because you just have to ask him. He's here. And he loves you. He knows you by name. And his love is available to you. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for each and every person here. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would draw near to them. And I pray whatever it is that they need from you today, that they would receive it. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Great. I think Jesus is great, don't you? He's great. I love reading the Gospels and seeing how he sort of deals with all the questions that he's asked and the scrutiny that he's under. He's wonderful. And we're going to sing of how wonderful he is by standing and singing our next or last song, which is My Jesus, My Saviour. And let's really enter into it and give him our praise.